We read in last week's parasha, Miket Sheva Shanim Ta'ase Shmito. Veze Dvar HaShmito, Shomoit Kol Ba'a Ma Sheyodoi Asher Yasheh Bereyehu. Lo Yigoyses Reyehu Ve'esachiv Ki Kor HaShmito La'ashem. Ibn Ezra explains the word Miket as the beginning of the seventh year. During the beginning of the seventh year, you should make Shmita. The Ramban asked on Ibn Ezra, if it was written in the Pasuk, Miket HaShana HaShvi'it, in the beginning of the seventh year, then it would make sense. It means the beginning of Shnat HaShemitah. But since the Pasuk says Miket Sheva Shanim, that means that we're talking about the 7 years of Maisvis. The 7 years since we have 6 years before Shemitah. So when we say Miket Sheva Shanim, we're talking about the first year of the Sheva Shanim. The first year of the 7 years. And therefore, we can't explain it that we mean the beginning of Shnat HaShemitah. The Ramban himself explains that the Pasuk is talking about Shemitah's Kalkois. That means that we're not allowed to plant, or we're not allowed to do other kind of malachis in the ground itself in Shnat HaShvi'it. And when the Pasuk says, Ta'ashmit, Ta'ase Shmita, that means you should make Shmita, it means that you're not allowed to do those malachis in the ground. The Ramban himself says that Chazal explained the Pasuk on Shmita's Ksofi. Like we see in the Gemara Be'erchin, it's written there that Shvi'is Meshametes Besoifa. That means they took from the Pasuk, Miket Sheva Shonim, they took from that Pasuk that Shmita's Ksofim, all the debts are annulled at the end, at the seventh year, and they said that it happens at the end of the seventh year. That means the beginning of the eighth year. So the Ramban says that we see from Chazal that it's at the end of the year, and not in the beginning of the year. That means, first of all, we have a question on the Ibn Ezra, that the Ibn Ezra explains, Miket Sheva Shanim, the beginning of the seventh year. And from Chazal we see that they explain that it's the end of the seventh year. Second of all, we have a question here about some of the Ramban himself. The Ramban explained the Pasuk on Shmitas Karkois. And here we see that Chazal explained the Pasuk on Shmitas Ksofim. The Ramban himself says that it could be that we'll explain that Chazal themselves also said that Pasuk is talking about Shmitas Karkois. But since we have this extra word, Miket Sheva Shonim, because it could have just said, the Pasuk just could have said, Bishnas HaShevo Ta'ase Shmita, in the seventh year you should make a Shmita. Since they added on another word, it says Miket, that means at the end of the seventh year, that means that not only do we have Shmita's Karkois during the seventh year, at the end of the seventh year we have another Shmita. And that Shmita is Shmita's Tzofim, what we said beforehand, that all the debts are annulled at the end of the year. And therefore the Ramban says, the way he explains it, it's not against the way he wanted to explain the Pasuk itself. The Pasuk itself was talking about Shmita's Karkois. Miket Sheva Shanim says that at the end of the year we added another Shmita with the Shmita's Ksofim. The Tumim, Urim Betumim, and Choshim Mishpat Simen Samech Zayin, says that the Ibn Ezra, he doesn't want the Ibn Ezra's Chash Hashem to say something against the way Chazal explained the Pasuk. So he says we should say that Ibn Ezra holds like Shitas HaRosh. The Rosh says that Shmita's Ksofim starts from the beginning of the seventh year. That from the beginning of the seventh year, you cannot come and demand the debts that person gave, that if someone loaned money during the 6 years, he who lent the money cannot come and demand the debts from this person when the seventh year starts. So we'll say, if we say that the Ibn Ezra holds like the Rosh, therefore we'll be able to explain the Pasuk, Miket Sheva Shanim, in the beginning of the seventh year. The Rosh himself is in Gittin Perek Dalet Simen Yud Ches. The Rosh says like this, Detanya betosefta. Emosai koisvim olav pruzbul. When do we write a pruzbul? Erev Rosh Hashanah shel Shvi'is. We write a pruzbul on the erev of Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year. And says the Rosh, v'hu adin koiden. And also you can write it beforehand. V'lo balemait ela bashanah Shvi'is. And the tosefta is only coming to tell us that you're not supposed to write pruzbul during the seventh year. Even though we say that the debts aren't annulled only at the end of the year, during the seventh year. Even though we can't write the pruzbul during the seventh year, even though the chovot themselves are nishmat, they're annulled at the end of the year, you cannot write the pruzbul during the seventh year. That's the end of the Rosh. So the Rosh says that there's a difference between to come and demand the Chov, and since you can't demand the Chov during the seventh year, you also can't write a Pruzbul. And at the end of the seventh year, that's when the Chof itself is annulled. And he explains it in continuation in Simin Chof. In Simin Chof he brings it that he takes it out from the Psukim. It's written like this. Behodin koisvin puzbul bashvis, and that that you cannot write a puzbul in the seventh year, apal pishei no meshemetes besoifo, even though it's only annulled at the end of the year, nere deforesh atam al piyam mikroes. He wants to explain the reason of what's written in the Tosefta. He wants to explain it according to the Psukim. One pasuk says, "Miket sheva shonim taase shmito v'zeh dvar shmito shomot kol bal mashe yodoy." Mipashte dekroy alfinan de'en shvis meshemetes besoifo. From the pshat of poshut of the pasuk, we learn that shmita is only at the end of the year. Kidichti, like it's written, "Miket sheva shonim taase shmita v'zeh dvar shmito she'eno ela besoifo hasheva shomot kol bal mashe yodoy." And from that pasuk, we learn that that's the pashtus of the pasuk. Miket means the end of the year, and that's when the debts themselves are annulled. But the gam amal ve'at sicha aval miyad kshitchil shnas hasheva, the second that the shnas hashmita started, and beis din boitkin nigvoy shum chov, beis din do not collect any kind of chov from those who loan them. The gam amal ve'atzmon, he himself loaned them, and lo nigvoy sa loive, he is not supposed to demand them from the loive. Dichtiv lo igoy se sachiv esreu ki koro shmita lashem. Since miyad shenichas shmita lo yigoy, the second that shmita came in, from then on he's not supposed to balve, is not supposed to demand the debts from the loiv himself, and the beisin also do not deal with collecting those loans. Aval im yifra loiv ma'atzmoy, but if the loiv himself decides to come and pay up his loan by himself, and he didn't come and demand it from him, en tzrich v'ma meshamet ani, that there's a difference. If the loiva comes himself to pay up within the seventh year, so it's true that the malve himself cannot demand the chov from the loiva, but if he comes himself and he pays back, so he could take it, he doesn't have to say meshamet ani. But if the loiva comes to pay back the malve at the end of the seventh year, after Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year, then when he comes to pay him back, he says meshamet ani. There was already a din of shmita, all the debts were annulled, and I'm not supposed to take the money from you, I'm not supposed to take it back from you. If the loiva still says, look, I want to pay you back, I still want to give it to you, then he's willing to accept it. Hopefully we'll explain that thing at the end. But the Rosh says that that's the difference between what happens during the seventh year and what happens at the beginning of the eighth year. During the seventh year, the malve is not allowed to demand the loan back from the loiva. And Beis Din do not deal with collecting these loans. But at the end of the eighth, and when it comes the eighth year, when Rosh Hashanah, the eighth year comes already, so then he's not even allowed to get the loan back from the loive. The loive comes back to pay him, he's supposed to say Meshamet Ani, because the chov itself was annulled at the end of the seventh year. And finishes the Rosh. Ukemo shein nizkokim nigvoy sachov, kachen nizkokim nechtoy puzbun yad shenichnas hashviz. And just like Beis Din does not deal with collecting the loans, the same reason he also does not write puzbul during the seventh year. As we know, puzbul is takonas hilul azoken, that it was such a way that people would stop giving loans to the anim. They had no way to get halvois, and there's a lav hishomel chosh shepen yel bovo in vov chob riyal. So therefore, so they shouldn't go over the lav. So hilul made a puzbul that the main idea is that we give he who gave the loan gives the loan to the Beis Din, that he shouldn't be the one that's demanding it from the loive. The Beis Din should be the one that's demanding it from the loive. And when it's done in such a way, so he could get back his chov even after the beginning of the eighth year. So first of all, we see in the Rosh himself that we cannot say the teres that the Tumim gave to the Ibn Ezra. The Tumim wanted to say that according to the Ibn Ezra that explained Miket Sheva Shonim at the beginning of the seventh year, the same way he'll hold like the Rosh, and he'll explain Miket Sheva Shonim is in the beginning of the seventh year when the Malve cannot come and demand his loan from the Loive. But we see that the Rosh himself did not learn the Pasuk that well. Wait, the Rosh himself learned that Miket Sheva Shonim is the end of the seventh year, just like Chazal, Rosh Has Chazal. And when we're saying Miket Sheva Shonim, we're talking about that the Chov itself was annulled. But what's written, Ki Koro Shmito Lashem, since we started off Shmita, we called it the name of Shmita, when we call it the name of Shmita, that's when you're not allowed to come and demand the Chov. The Malve cannot come and demand the Chov from the Loive. So therefore we see, we Betim cannot say the Tumim's Teretz on the Ibn Ezra. Now we brought Shita Sarosh, and that's the way that's the way it's written in the Tosefta that was in front of him, that you do not write Puzbul during the seventh year. That's the way he learned it. But the Rishonim bring a different gears in the Tosefta. the Ramban, the Chuvas HaMichotois, and the Rashba, and the Chuvah that Beis Yosef brings, they said that the Tosefta that was written in front of the, that was in front of the Rosh, it's all mistaken. The Maseres that he got in that Tosefta is wrong. That's not what's written there. What's written is a Mosai Koistin Puzbul, Erev Rosh Hashanah Shen Moitzoy Shviz. That means when do you write the Puzbul? Not in the sixth year, Erev Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year. You write the Puzbul in Erev Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year, at the end of the seventh year. And that's also the way the Goyen of Vilna, that's the way he also learns the Tosefta, and that's the Gisa that was in front of him. So, the way they learn it, it's much more pashut. Everything happens at the end of the seventh year. At the end of the seventh year, all the debts are annulled, and once the debts are annulled, you are not allowed to come and demand them. And someone who's going to come and demand his chov from the loive, he's going to be over on the left, loive says ochit. And therefore, it all happens at the end of the seventh year. According to the Rosh, you're not allowed to come and demand the chov during the whole during the seventh year. And at the end of the year, then the debt itself is annulled. But according to these Rishonim, during the seventh year, you could come and demand your chov, and you could come collect it and do whatever you want to. And the Beis Din will help you out with that too. Just at the end of the seventh year, that's when we write a puzbul. And then, if you don't write a puzbul, so then the debt is going to be annulled. And then, you will not be able to collect it from the loiven. If you will, you will be over in the lav of loigos. What we do have to understand, in Shikas HaRosh, what's going to be with those loans that were given during the seventh year? The loans that were given during the sixth years, we have a puzbul on that. If he wrote a puzbul, so then he's able to come to his loive and demand his chov. He wants to get back his money. But what happens after Erev Rosh Hashanah Shel Shviz? He already wrote his puzbul, but now he lends money during the seventh year. What's going to happen with those chovot? Is he allowed to demand those chovot from the loive? Or those chovot themselves, he's not allowed to demand from the loive? The Beis Yosef in Simon Samach Zayin in Choshim Mishpot, he brings the Rambam. The Rambam says like this: En shvis meshametes elo besoifo. Lefikach hilvo es chaveru b'shvis goy vechoyvo kol hashana. That means the Rambam holds like Shitat Ramban and the Rashba that the loans are only annulled at the end of the year, and he says therefore if someone lends money to his friend during the seventh year, he could come and collect it during the whole year. Goy v'choyva kol hashana. That's why we didn't discuss it. Why does he say exactly someone that gave the loan on the seventh year? According to them, it would be the same thing if he gave it on the fifth year or the sixth year. But we won't get into that now. And then the Rambam ends, u'kshetishka hachama b'leil rosh hashana shemoyse yishviz, oval hachoyv. And when it comes shkia sachama at the end of the seventh year and it starts rosh hashana of the eighth year, then the loan is annulled. The Beis Yosef says that we see from here that according to the Rambam, even loans that were given during the seventh year, the Malva could come and demand them from the Loive during the whole seventh year. And he says, from Pashtas of the Rambam, it seems he could even come to Beis Din and he could demand the Chovot there, and there's no Isur of Loigos. He says, but according to the Rosh, says the Beis Yosef, according to the Rosh, it's not that way. According to the Rosh, you're not allowed to come and demand the what was lent on the seventh year. Everything that was lent during the seventh year, according to the Rosh, you cannot come and collect it. And if you try to collect it, then you're going to oivan isur lo yigos. The Bach on the space says, he's cholak on the Beis Yosef. He wants to say that the Rambam and the Rosh agree. Also, according to the Rosh, also all those halvois, all the loans that were given during the seventh year, you can noigas them, you can collect them during the seventh year. But the whole difference between them is those halvois that were given in the 6 years before Shnas HaShemitah. And he brings the Raya from Ashochet HaSapora. We'll discuss that Raya. The Korban Nesana on the Rosh says that not only the Bach holds that way, also Shuta Rabbaz holds that way. He shows us someplace where there's the Shuta Rabbaz. We can't find in our Shuta Rabbaz. And other Rabbi, we have a Shuta Rabbaz that says something else against the Tashbetz. He asks like this. The Korban Nesana asks like this. If we hold that during the seventh year we have an Isur of Loigois, that means you're not allowed to come and demand loans that were given, so what's the difference between those loans that were given the 6 years before Shnat HaShemitah, or the loans that were given on that year itself, for Shnat HaShemitah? If during this year you are not allowed to come and demand your chov, if you're not allowed to come to Beis Din and take the person to Beis Din and say, I want back my loan, so what's the difference between those that were during the 6 years, than those that were given the seventh year itself? Second question the Korban Nesana asks, if we have a difference between the loans, so he says the Rosh could have explained the psukim in that way. He could have said the pasuk that says ki koro shmita l'Hashem, the pasuk that's talking about the beginning of the seventh year, that's talking about the loans that were given the first 6 years. Those loans that were given during the sixth year, when it comes the seventh year, ki koro shmita l'Hashem, when it starts the seventh year, so those loans are annulled. But the loans that were given during the seventh year, Those chovot are only annulled at the end of the eighth year, and that at the end of the seventh year. Excuse me, at the end of the seventh year, the beginning of the eighth year, and that's what's written. Miket sheva shanim tasa shmita. So why does the Rosh have to explain that we cut between the Easter of Loyigos of demanding the chov and Hashmota sachov that the chov is annulled? We could have said that it's both talking about the same thing, but the first post of Miket sheva shanim is talking about those loans that were given during the seventh year, and what's talking Kikol shmita l'Hashem is talking about the loans that were given the 6 years. Now, as we said before, the Bach brings a raya from a Mishnah. Hashoshet HaSapora. Hashoshet HaSapora is a Mishnah in the beginning of Perek Asir in Shmiz, and it's also brought in the Gemara in Shabbos. Hashoshet HaSapora, that means someone had a cow and he shechted the cow, so they should have what to eat during Yom Tif. Now, the question was, how many days of Rosh Hashanah were they going to have? If Rosh Hashanah was going to be the first day, or Rosh Hashanah was pushed off for the next day, and he shechted this cow on the first day of Rosh Hashanah. Now, if Rosh Hashanah is the next day, is going to be we're talking about the Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year. Now, if Rosh Hashanah is going to be the second day, so the first day of Rosh Hashanah is still part of the seventh year. If it's still part of the seventh year, so since the person that he's dividing up the cow with, it still owes him the money, so it's going to be Shvita Safim on the money that he owes for this cow, what he bought for Yom Tov. But if the first day is going to be Rosh Hashanah itself, and the eighth year is going to start then, that means that this loan that he's giving him is really giving him the eighth year, and therefore it will not be annulled. That's what the Gemara, that's what the Mishnah talks about. So, what we're talking about better in the Mishnah is what happens in the eighth year, the beginning of the eighth year. So, the Korban HaTzadok says that Divrei HaBach Tmuin, he doesn't understand what the Bach is talking about. Okay, what we're talking about in this Mishnah is what happens in the eighth year. That everybody agrees that at the end of the eighth year, that the loans are annulled. So what does they have to do with demanding the chov during the seventh year? The Bach is supposed to bring from this Mishnah a raya that those loans that were given during the seventh year, you're allowed to collect them. How do we see that in this Mishnah? We're not talking about that. The Gemara, the Shabbos says that we're talking about if you have to say Meshamet, then you're not Meshamet. So we're talking about what happens at the end of the seventh year. What happens when the loans are annulled? We're not talking about collecting the chovos. So what does that have to do with it? So maybe what we have to explain in the Bach is like this. We see in the Gemara B'Makis that only those loans that you have, though you go on them, those loans themselves are the ones that are annulled at the end of the eighth year. We will discuss it a little later too. And just like in the Gemara and Shabbos, they discuss if someone lent money during Yom Tov, if that chob itself, if you're allowed to come and demand it afterwards in Beis Din or not. That's what the Gemara and Shabbos is discussing. So we see that to have a Din of Shemitah is built on the Din of Loyigos. Only those loans that you have Loyigos on them, those are the ones that have that are alone are annulled at the end of the year. So therefore it could be that Bach understood that if these chavot of the seventh year, those loans that were given during the seventh year, you are not allowed to demand them, so therefore there will be no shmita on them. But we also can't understand that. Still we say the dvarim matmuin. Because that all happens, if we have some kind of loan that you're not allowed to collect it because it's not time, the time didn't come yet. Or it was a loan that was given for 10 years and the time didn't come up yet. He has no reason he'd be able to collect the loan. So then we say, if you have an Isra, you're not allowed to collect the Stamazoi because the time didn't come yet. So since it's not Shaykh to Loigos, it's not Shaykh to Shamoit. Since it's not, there's nothing to do with it, there's no love of demanding the loan because we're not even holding there, so therefore also there's no Shemitah, the loan is also not annulled. But what we're talking about Loigos, according to the Rosh, that you're not allowed to collect because Shemitah started. If we're going to say that those loans that were given during the seventh year, you're not allowed to collect them, it means that that's the beginning of Shemitah. That the Shemitah itself does not allow you to collect them, that's not called that it's not Kalu Balav of Loigos. That means the reason you're not allowed to demand these loans is because of Loigos. That means that the love of Loigos is holding on these loans themselves. So if we hold that these loans have a Loigos, for sure they're also going to be annulled at the end of the year. And therefore, still, we have no pshat in the Bach. How could we explain what the Bach says, that there's a difference between the loans of the first 6 years and the loans of the seventh year? The Chasam Sofer, Choshimish Batsim Enun, gives an explanation. He says like this. Like we said beforehand, in the Gemara of Makis it's written, that if someone gives someone a loan for 10 years, and in the middle of those 10 years, there's also Shemitah, 7 years. So we have a Machlokes in the Gemara there. If those kind of loans, if they're annulled or not, that means, since when Shnat HaShemitah, we'll talk Poshuk, when the Shnat HaShemitah ends, the beginning of the 8th year, there's no way that he could come and demand that Chov. Since he cannot demand the Chov, therefore there is no Shemitah. The Ban Deoma, the holds that the loan is annulled, what does he say? He says, since afterwards at least, for sure this Chov, this loan itself is a loan that you can, no, yes, it is a loan that you can, that you can demand, so therefore, even though that during the end of the 7th year, that time itself, you cannot come and collect it, but since the loan itself is a loan that could be collected at the end of the 7 years, therefore it is annulled at the end of the 7th year. We hold la aloche that those loans, that the time did not come in yet, that means that the time to pay them back are only after Shemitah, those loans themselves are not nishmat b'shvit, they are not annulled. So it says the Chosum Sefer like this. So therefore what happens, that means that we take the point that it changes from the 7th year to the 8th year. Either, it depends on the Rishonim, maybe in the Mishnayos, in the Rash, maybe it's at the end of the 8th year, a 7th year, or like it seems like in the Rambam, Shetishka Chamash Hashanah Shvit, maybe it's at the beginning of the 8th year. But at that certain point, for something to have, for a loan to be Nishmat, we have to have that the Chov itself was Bechlau Lo'igos. That means if you could demand at that minute, the beginning, the end of the 7th year, it's Yom Tov and the Beis Din is closed. But if the Beis Din was open and you would be able to demand that Chov and Beis Din, at that time, at the end of the 7th year, the beginning of the 8th year, if that time you were able to demand the Chov, so that Chov is also annulled. But if you cannot demand it then, so it's not annulled. So the Chosum Sefer says like this. Just like towards Shemitah Saksofim, just towards what we say according to what we're talking about, the that's when they're annulled. We said that we have a certain point, that point counts, and that's what matters to us. If even if the person was supposed to pay back, let's say during Rosh Hashanah itself, the second at the beginning of the Rosh Hashanah, the person didn't have to pay him back, so therefore the debt itself wouldn't be annulled. So he's saying the same thing we say in Shita Sarosh. Only those loans, only those debts that in the beginning of the 7th year he was able to collect them, only those chovos, the Rosh says they have an Issur of Lo Yigois. That means that's the difference that we have between those loans that were given during the 6th year and the loan that was given during the 7th year. The truth is, not only those loans, even the loans that were given during the 6th year, that's what comes out according to this Chosum Sefer, even the loans that were given during the 6th year, but if the time to pay back is after the Rosh Hashanah of Shana Shviz, therefore, the Issur of Lo Yigois, that's Chal now, that now falls on all those loans that you want, that the Malach wants to demand back from the Loive, they have an Issur of Lo Yigois. But there's a difference. If you were able to collect the Chov during the Rosh Hashanah, at the beginning of the 7th year, then you have an Issur of Lo Yigois. But those chovos that you weren't able to collect at the beginning of the 7th year, those chovos don't have a Lo Yigois. And therefore we can understand that what the Bach wrote, and that's what he meant, that there's a difference between those loans that the time to pay back was in the beginning of Shviz, and those that the time didn't come in the beginning of Shviz, and therefore those chovos that were lent out during the 7th year, according to the Rosh, there is no Issur of Lo Yigois. So it comes out that we have a machlokes, Beis Yosef and Bach. According to the Beis Yosef, those loans that were given during the 7th year, according to the Rosh, you cannot collect them, and someone who comes to collect them from his loive is over the Issur Lo Yigois. And according to the Bach, and the Korban Nesala brings it to Radbaz holds that way too, you can collect those chovot that were lent out in the 7th year itself. So we solved the problem of collecting the chov. But we have another problem. If according to the Rosh, we cannot write a Puzbul during the 7th year, that means we're going to write the Puzbul only in the Erev Rosh Hashanah before, at the end of the 6th year, before the 7th year, what's going to be with all those loans that were given during the 7th year? I mean, when it comes to the end of the year, all those loans that were given during the 7th year, if you had to pay them back already during that year, if you'll say that he has to pay them back the 8th year, the 9th year, so the Halacha, it will have no problem. But those loans that he has to pay back during the 7th year, we have a problem that the end of the 7th year, according to the Rosh, those loans are going to all be annulled. And the whole idea was, Hillel was afraid of those people who aren't going to want to lend money because they're over on the lav. And what's going to happen now when someone's going to come to get a loan during the 7th year, no one's going to want to give it to him because at the end of the year, the loan is going to be annulled. So we didn't solve the problem. Second of all, it seems that's what makes sense, that if if the main problem is what's happening at the end of the eighth year, if the main idea was to stop the choybas from being annulled, so therefore the time of writing the puzbul should be then. How could it be that at that time, when that's the main reason why we need it, you won't be able to write a puzbul? Doesn't make sense. To answer that, we should see the Tosefta that the Rosh himself brought. According to the Rosh, this is how it's written in the Tosefta, right? A mosai koisvi puzbul, erev Rosh Hashanah shel Shvi'is. That's the part that the Rosh brought according to his Girsan. And it continues in the Tosefta. It says like this. Ksovoi erev Rosh Hashanah shel Moitzei Shvi'is. If he wrote it, erev Rosh Hashanah at the end of the seventh year, erev Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year, af al pi shechoizel ukroi, even though afterwards it was torn up, lachar mikein goyve olo v'hoi lech nizman merubeh, if the puzbul itself was written and erev Rosh Hashanah Moitzei Shvi'is, if it was still in the world during that time, and afterwards, even a day afterwards, after Rosh Hashanah, it got lost or it got torn or anything like that, still the puzbul is good. But what do we see here? Even though the Rosh has the beginning of the Girsa and the Tosefta, according to his Girsa and the Tosefta, we say erev Rosh Hashanah Shel Shvi'is, erev Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year, he still says that there is such a thing to write a puzbul erev Rosh Hashanah Shel Moitzei Shvi'is. There is such a thing to write a puzbul at the end of the seventh year. So it comes out that we have to say either it's b'di'eved, or and all the Rosh said it is l'chatchila that way, or it could be something else. It could be that the Rosh just held that since we have a problem that these loans are going to be annulled at the end of the year, so Chazal said maybe the whole seventh year you can't do it, but at the end of the year, so since we don't want the loan to be annulled, you're allowed to write a puzbul, something like that. And the truth is, it's written in Shulchan Aruch Harav, Hilchos Avor, Simin Lamed Vov. He brings the Shitas Rosh, and that's what he says, that according to the Rosh, you should write a puzbul at the end of the sixth year, but if you don't, so you can write during the whole seventh year, and if not, Erev Rosh Hashanah Shemotzei Shvi'is. So he says, if he took it from the Tosefta, it's not for sure that's exactly what's written in the Tosefta. In the Tosefta, we only see that you're allowed to write it Erev Rosh Hashanah Shemotzei Shvi'is. That means the last minute before the loans are going to be annulled. He writes here ready to write that you can write it during the whole seventh year. So maybe he's building on the other Shitas. He's saying maybe he holds you that according to the Rosh, you can't write it in the seventh year. Or he understood in the Tosefta that also according to the Rosh, you can write during the seventh year. And what's written in the Tosefta, Erev Rosh Hashanah Shemotzei Shvi'is, is Lav B'davke. Not only in the Erev Rosh Hashanah Shemotzei Shvi'is you can write the puzzle, you can write it also during the whole seventh year. So if we put it that way, so we see if it's and it's what we're saying. So you could say that according to the Rosh, also you can write a puzbul during the seventh year, and that's how we solve our problems. We have no problem if people aren't going to want to give loans during the seventh year because they can write a puzbul at the end of the seventh year. And according to the Rosh, also you can write a puzbul at the last minute, right before it's Nishmat. If that's the Tosefta that was also in front of the Rosh, he didn't bring the rest of the Tosefta, but if the Tosefta in front of us, that's the way it's written. So if we hold that he has the beginning of the Tosefta and the end of the Tosefta, that's the chor was supposed to come out l'dini. But still, we have to understand the din itself that he brought. The Rosh brings that in Beis Din is talking ligvois choyvos v'lo koisvim puzbul. He writes that Beis Din do not bodkin ligvois choyvos. They do not check and collect choyvos during the seventh year, and they also don't write a puzbul. The question is, what does it mean? Why doesn't Beis Din deal with choyvos? The pashtus would be to say that it starts from the isur lo yigos. Since there's isur lo yigos, like he says, ki kol shmito l'Hashem, we have an isur lo yigos. And therefore, since the Malbe himself cannot come and demand his loan, for the same reason, also the Beis Din does not deal with it, and for the same reason, he also can't come and write a puzbul in the Beis Din, because that's all going to be, if he does that, they're going to over and Yisrael Yigos. But the problem is that we see in Rashi, in Gittin and Adat, but we see it in other places also, that it seems that Rashi holds that there is no Yisrael Yigos in Beis Din. But that's part of the idea. That's part of the idea of Mitzira Shtolos, giving the shtar to Beis Din, is that the Beis Din Agorve, and not the person himself, Mosrani Lachem Shtolos, Shatem Tiyu Noigzim, Vani Lo Egoz, Well, come on, Muki, Dish Kach Beat Chachomim, maybe we'll explain what he means there. He says in Daf Lamed Beis too, that the second that not the Mal, but the person who loaned the money himself, the second that he's not the one who's Tovea, Shumois Shtolos, the Beis Din, the Ihu Lo Tovo Le Lebal Choyv, El Ha Beis Din, in Yorch Din, in Chosov, Vendo Yikarine Be Lo Egoz. So it's very hard to say that the reason that the Beis Din themselves cannot deal with these loans is because of the Isur of Lo Yigos. Because we see that Beis Din themselves aren't in that Isur of Lo Yigos. there's even a lagush and a sma that learn it from a pasuk. Lo yigosi sachiv. Only a person cannot demand the chol from his brother. But bathing, well, that brother was everybody around, and therefore they're allowed to make the chol. Second of all, when we read the Rosh himself, it's also written not in that way. He writes like this. Aval miyad kshitchila shnas hashmita and beidin boikin nigvoy shum choiv. That the second and seventh year starts, beidin do not deal with collecting any choivoys. Vegam amal bebeatzmo en ligoy saloive. Dichtiv lo igoy sesachi vesreo ki koro shmita lashem. Miyad shenichas hashmita lo igoy. She says, not only is Beis Din allowed to collect the choivos, not only that, also he who lent himself, the Malvin himself, also isn't allowed to collect, because it's written the egos. So it seems, first of all, that the Beis Din are for one reason, and the Malvin is from a different reason. Second of all, it seems like it's a chiddush that the Malvin himself isn't allowed to collect. That's that the Beis Din cannot deal with the loans that we understand. But Gama Malvin Asmoy isn't allowed to collect his choiv. And also in the Sma, the Shulchan Aruch, you see the same thing. He brings, since Shvi's Meshametas Besoifa, I would think that the Malbe himself is allowed to come and collect his chol. No, he's also not allowed. Not only the basing. That's very interesting. And also at the end, as we see, it's written like this. Ukemoy she'en nizkokim nigvoy sachoiv, kach en nizkokim nichtoy puzbun yot shenichasa Shvi's. The Rosh says that just like basing, do not collect the choivos, for the same reason, from that, it's cut out from the same idea, you also cannot write a puzbun. And if the reason was loigos, we should have it written that since Beis Din cannot collect the choivos because they're also going to oivan the halach of loigos, for the same reason they can't write a puzbul, because what's the puzbul? He's passing over the chov to the Beis Din, so the Beis Din should collect this. That also should be b'chal loigos. Mm-hmm. We have another question. According to the Rosh, okay, what happens during the seventh year? You cannot come and collect the loans. So it makes sense that once the seventh year starts and the Isur of La'igoy started already, so then you already can't pass over your choivus and write a puzbul or meisur shtovus to the Beis Din. It's already too late. This chov itself, you're not allowed to come and collect it. So therefore, the Rosh has said a very positive reason why you have to write a puzbul in the sixth year. You have to write the puzbul in the sixth year of Rosh Hashanah Shavuos, because since you want to come and collect your chov during the seventh year, you could only collect the chov if you wrote a puzbul. If you didn't write a puzbul, according to the Rosh, you have a lav shel ha'igos. So why does the Rosh have to come with this explanation? And Beis Din boikin nigvos choivos, Beis Din do not deal with choivos, and if they don't deal with choivos, you can't write a puzbul. I have a very positive reason why you have to write a puzbul. You have to write a puzbul so you should be able to collect the choivos during the seventh year. Otherwise, you cannot collect them, and you're oiv about the lav shel ha'igos. And that should be the reason why you have to write it in the seventh year. Before the seventh year. In the Tosefta that we brought, at the end of the Tosefta, there's a machlokes there between Rabbonin and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. And the way the Rishonim explain it, in Perek Yud Mishneh Hei, Shviz, they explain the machlokes is like this. If someone wrote a puzbul, Erev Rosh Hashanah Shel Shviz, before Rosh Hashanah Shviz, if the puzbul still has to be in the world, in Erev Rosh Hashanah Shel Shminis, according to Rabbonin, the puzbul has to be in the world in Erev Rosh Hashanah Shel Shminis. And if it got lost, or they tore it up afterwards, then it doesn't matter. But if it got lost or got torn during the seventh year, so then the puzbul will not help. And according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, once the puzbul was written, and therefore the puzbul was given, it's counted as if he gave the loans over, passed it over to the Beis Din. So according to Rav Shimon ben Gamliel, it doesn't matter if the puzbul is still in the world or not. We have to understand, for what reason do we need it to be in the Erev Rosh Hashanah Shel Shminis? Why do we need it to be at the end of the year? If he wrote it the right time, he wrote it at the end of the sixth year, Erev Rosh Hashanah Shel Shviz, and he passed on the loans to Beis Din, so they're by Beis Din. And if the loans are by Beis Din, so when it comes to the end of the seventh year, the eighth year, and that's the time that the loans are annulled, therefore it's still beyond the Beis Din, and it shouldn't be annulled. So why do we need that the puzbul itself should be here during Erev Rosh Hashanah of Shminis? Another question we have, if it's true what we said beforehand, that the Rosh holds that you also could write a puzbul during the seventh year, or at the end of the seventh year, we have to understand, how does it work? If, especially if we hold like the Beit Yosef, if we hold that these choivos had a lav of leigos during the seventh year, so what does it help it's not according to the Beis Yosef, because we're talking about also those loans that were given all 7 years. So if he didn't write a Puzbal in the beginning of the seventh year, and now he wants to write a Puzbal at the end of the seventh year according to the Rosh, so all these loans that he gave beforehand, they all have an Isur of Lo'ikos. So how does it help him now that he writes a Puzbal? Just the same sense that we said beforehand. If already those loans, you cannot collect them because there's an Isur Lo'ikos, how are you able to write a Puzbal now on them, and suddenly you give it over to the Beis Din and you're allowed to do it, and the Chovos won't be annulled at the end of the year? Seems like maybe we should explain it this way. It seems like, just like we have an idea of Shmitas Kalkoes, that during the seventh year, we do not work in the land, the same idea we have, during the seventh year, we have Shmitas Tzofim. That's the way the Rosh understood it. During the seventh year, Beis Din do not deal with any kind of loans. They don't collect, no one could come and demand Chovos by them, and for the Rosh says, for the same reason that you can't come demand the Chovos, for the same reason that the Beis Din Einam Bodkin Lekvois Chovos, they do not deal with collecting these loans, for the same reason you can't write a Puzbal. It's as if the Beis Din was closed during the seventh year. And what's the explanation? What does the Puzbal have to do with collecting the Chovos? It seems to explain it like this. It's written in Choshe Mishpat, Simen Ayin Gimel, that if the Dayanim see that he who took the loan is trying to run away, he's trying to get out of paying his debt, he wants to run away to a different country, he's trying to get rid of selling whatever he has, his fields, whatever he has, he's trying to get rid of it, in order there shouldn't be any money left at the time when the time comes up to pay up his debt. That means his debt, the time to pay up didn't come yet. But the Beis Din see, the guy, the Malvah comes to Beis Din, he says, look what this guy's doing. He's trying to run away, he's trying to get away from paying me. So if the Beis Din see that that's not what he's trying to do, he's trying to get away from paying, so therefore the Beis Din are going to stop this person from selling his stuff, they're going to hold his nechassim, so he should be able to pay back his Malvah. Says the Yom Shloimo in Bovekame Perichisho Simon Chof, that Beis Din do this only if they see that he's doing it on purpose. That means if they see that the reason that he's doing it is because he doesn't want to pay up his loan, the reason he's doing it is that the Malvah shouldn't get back his money, so only then Beis Din collect the chov for him, and so he shouldn't lose his money. But if they see that his business isn't going well, he's just losing, it's not going well, it's not that he's trying to get away from paying back his debt, it's just he has no money and business isn't going well, then Beis Din will not interfere and will not collect the chov for him. So the Yom Shushleimu, where does he have a raya for that? Says the Zaraya, according to the man de Omar that we said before in the Gemara B'Makis, that if someone gave someone else a halvor for 10 years and the Shemitah in the middle, that Shemitah Meshametis, according to those who say that the loans are annulled. So says the Yom Shushleimu, L'choilo, when it comes to the end of the seventh year, Beis Din should have come and collect the debt from the Loive to pay back the Malve. I mean, what's going to happen? At the end of the 10th year, he's not going to own anything. At the end of the 7th year, there's Shemitah, and all the loans are annulled, and therefore, he's not going to have any reason to pay him back. So, the Beis Din to save the Malve should be able to stop him and say, okay, we're collecting this money at the end of the Shana Shvis, so the Malve should have money. So, says the Yom Shishleim, since we see it doesn't work that way, from here he proves that if the Loive isn't doing it on purpose, if it's not that he's trying to take away and that the Malvah shouldn't get back his money, but that's how it worked out. Shnata Shmita came and he didn't do anything wrong. That's the way it worked out. Then Beis Din do not interfere and do not collect the nechosim for the Malvah. That's what the Yom Shishlema says. Says the Shach on the spot. He agrees with the Din. The Din is Emes. But he says, the Rai isn't the Rai. Why isn't the Rai Rai? He says, when someone gives someone else a loan for 10 years, he understands that there's going to be a Shnata Shmita in the middle. And if he understands it's going to be Shnata Shmita Mitzvah, so will the Kibbutz. That means he understood that's what's going to happen. So therefore, Beis Din don't come and collect the loan for him. But he says he agrees with the Din. But what do we see from here? We see from here that that's part of the Beis Din's tafkid. That's part of what Beis Din is supposed to do. They're supposed to make sure there's justice in the world. And part of justice to the world is that those who take loans should be paying them back. And if they see that he who took the loan is trying to get out of it, he's trying to run away, he's trying to sell his stuff, or something like that, so then the Beis Din is supposed to interfere and they're supposed to save the Malvah, he shouldn't lose his money. So therefore, we could explain that that's the same idea of Mesirah Shtaros and Puzbal. What's the idea? Once you give the shtar to Beis Din, and Beis Din, they have a star in front of them, it's commission nechkeg or edusam, they already know that there was a halvoy here, they have the star in their hands. No, so they have to come and help out the malva, because the malva shouldn't lose his money. So that's what the Rishonim said, it's kegovoy. That since we have, it's written, the Maitse Beis Din Eyo Yishmat, things that Beis Din paskin himself, that that's a plaque, that there's no shmita on this. Just like this, the same idea, because the Beis Din's interest. I mean, the Beis Din, it's their own interest to take care of that, that this loan should be paid. And once it's their business, and it's not only the Malva's business, therefore there's no shmita sofim. And I found that explanation in Divrei Malkir. He has a few more questions, we won't get into that right now, but that was the main idea, he says. So according to that, we could explain the same thing we were saying till now. Since Beis Din and his kokim nigvois choivois, Beis Din do not deal with choivois during the seventh year. So, for the same reason, they don't write a prusbul, because that comes from the same class, it comes from the same idea. Since Beis Din has to make sure that the loan should get back to the malzin, and if Beis Din do not deal with choivois during the seventh year, they don't deal with prusbuls either. So therefore, that's the pshat in the Rosh, since the seventh year is Shnas HaShmita also, the Inyan Shmita Sofim, and Beis Din and his Kokim, the Choivois, for the same reason, they also don't write Puzbuls. According to that, we can say another Chiddush too. The Pashtis is that the Isur Loigois is a special Isur on the Malva himself, that even though he gave a loan and he sees he's going to lose his money, he's not allowed to come and demand his Chov from the Loive. That's the Pashas, how we learned it. We see in Rashi, in Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, that Rashi holds that Ikar, the Isur, so we can see that in Shabbos Kuf Memches also, that Ikar, Isur Shelu Igois, is only if you prevail him be Beis Din. That's what's written in Rashi. Rashi says, the Enka Mishum Lo Igois, is the Toli Ade Omar Ade Hachi. He hangs them up on a tree till he says he's willing to pay him back. So Rashi says, Ade Omar Hachi B'matol Ani Yoyis Enecho. He says, I'm going to give it to you as a present. The Enka Mishum Lo Yigois, the Lo Bebei Dina Katov Elei, the Lav Mishum Chol. That means, Rashi says, that the Isur of Lo Yigois, at least the main part of Isur of Lo Yigois, is only if you come and you demand the Chol itself in the Beis Din. If you come and you try to collect it, Derech HaBeis Din, try to collect it with the Beis Din, then you have an Isur Lo Yigois. That means maybe if you just come to him and say, you know, you owe me some money or something like that, then it's not an Isur Lo Yigois. So we could explain it, according to what we said, at least in Shita Sarosh, we could explain it the same way. That it's not that there's an Isur and the Malve, that he's not allowed to come and collect his Chov from the Loive. That's not the Pshat in the Isur. The Isur is that he's not allowed to do it through the Beis Din. Since the Beis Din are in such a matzav that in Beis Din boitkin nigvois choivois, Beis Din do not deal with choivois, for the same reason you can't come and use them to come and collect your money. The loy nigvois means that you cannot come through the Beis Din and collect your chov. Another point we could take out from this. We asked, according to the Rosh, why doesn't he say that the reason that you have to write a puzzle in the sixth year is so you should be able to collect the choivois during the seventh year? Since there's an Isur Lo Yigois, if you have a puzbul and you're coming b'kach Beis Din, you're coming from the Beis Din's collecting, so there's no Isur Lo Yigois. But if you're not coming to the Beis Din, so there's Isur Lo Yigois. So why did the Rosh have to give such an explanation? That en boid kim choivis, and therefore you don't write puzbul, and therefore you have to write the puzbul in the beginning of at the end of the sixth year, you should have to write it, and so you should be able to come and demand your choivis during the seventh year. According to what we're saying, it could be that the puzbul did not help us on this Isur Lo Yigois. Puzbul, like we see in the Gemara. The Gemara says, Rabbi says it's, that we took from Hefker, Beis Din Hefker. That means that what the Puzbul can help us, the Puzbul can help us on the part of the money, on the part of the momentous of the loan itself. That means, if the loan was supposed to be annulled, you're able to pass it over to Beis Din. Things that Beis Din are taking care of aren't annulled. So it helps to only about the part of the money. But if we have such a Shemitah Sofim, it says, and Beis Din goes Mizkokim Nigvois Chovos. That means it's Kivyochol as if the Beis Din is closed in the seventh year. So what's it going to help you that you write a Puzbul? It doesn't help you for that Easter. The Beis Din is closed. So as if it was Shabbos. So you can't do anything. What can you do? The Beis Din is closed. So what does it help you? They have a shoes. You pass it over to the Beis Din. And that's the Tuktak and Loshin HaRosh and the Tuk. They say like this. Afal Pish Shvis Meshametes Besoifo. That means, even though the loan itself is annulled only at the end of the seventh year, you're supposed to write the puzbul in Erev Rosh Hashanah of the seventh year. That means it doesn't work out. That means it means like this, that since we understand that the loan itself is annulled only at the end of the year, so it made sense that you should write the puzbul only at the end of the year, because that's what it helps for. But he says, but since the Beidin, and Beidin is cocking before his skull voice, since the Beidin Kivyochol is closed during the seventh year, therefore you have to write it at the end of the sixth year, because during the seventh year you're not going to be able to write it. I mean, it's just like the same for, let's say, with Shabbos, and you needed something Sunday. So you have to write it Friday, so you should have it Sunday. Sunday morning, early in the morning. The only way you can have it so early in the morning is if you wrote it on Friday. But if the Shabbos is closed, it's closed. For the same idea, that's what we have here. Bats in the pool is what we needed for the end of the eighth year. For the end of the seventh year, the beginning of the eighth year. That's when we need the pool. But we have a problem. We can't write a pool during the seventh year. So to solve that problem, we write the pool at the end of the sixth year. But Mi'ika Adin, what the Puzbul means, it should be written at the end of the seventh year. And that's what the Torah and the Rosh say. Afal Pish Shvitz Meshametes B'Soifa, even though the loan itself is annulled only at the end of the seventh year, you're supposed to write the Puzbul at the end of the sixth year. And that's how we could explain Rabbon and Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, what the Machlekes is. That Rabbon understood that since the main time that the Puzbul is needed, when does the Puzbul poil? When does the Puzbul do what it's supposed to do? It does it at the end of the seventh year, at the beginning of the eighth year. Since the Puzbul is supposed to work then, it's supposed to work on the moment, they shouldn't be annulled. Therefore, we need it to be, it should be in the world at that time. It's true that it was already given and was written at the end of the sixth year. But since the time that it works, the time that it does what it's supposed to do is at the end of the seventh year, therefore we need that the Puzbul should be at the end of that year. And now, that you're allowed to collect the Chovos at the end, at the eighth year, why are you allowed to do that? So what we should say, according to the Rosh, is that the Isur Lo Yigos, according to the Rosh, is different than all the Rishonim. All the Rishonim hold that when the Chov was annulled, therefore, that's when the Isur Lo Yigos starts, since there's no more Chov anymore. Therefore, if you come to collect it, you're over an Isur Lo Yigos. But according to the Rosh, it's different. According to the Rosh, first of all, we start with the Lo Yigos. You're not allowed to come and demand it in Beis Din. That Isur, the way we're explaining it now, means that during the seventh year, there is a Shemitah Sofim, you cannot collect the loans. So that is only during the seventh year. And according to that, it gives us a good time in the Gemara B'Makas. Only those Chovos that started off the Shemitah, that during the seventh year, you weren't allowed to collect them, those are the Chovos that are annulled at the end of the year, at the beginning of the eighth year. And that's what the Rosh says. Isur Lo Yigos starts and is only during the seventh year, because it means Shemitah Sofim. During the seventh year, like Beis Din and Boitkin Negvois Chovos, you cannot collect, the Malva cannot collect this Chovos, and there's Isur Lo Yigos. After the seventh year, so it depends what happened. If the Chov wasn't annulled because you wrote a Puzbul, so you could come and collect it. But if the Chov wasn't annulled, because you didn't write a Puzbul, then you still got it. It has nothing to do with Lo Yigos. Lo Yigos means an Isur of Shemitah to collect the Chov. That Isur, according to the Rosh, is only during the seventh year. At the eighth year, either it was annulled or not annulled. If it was annulled, then you're still Meganav. When are you coming to collect money from me? I don't owe you anything. So it comes out like this. We have three Chidushim we said in Shitas HaRosh. One Chidush we say that according to the Rosh, we see in the Tosefta that you're allowed to write a Puzbul, even though the Rosh told us that the Chachilin should write a Puzbul be'er Rosh Hashanah Shel Shviz, at the end of the sixth year, Erev Rosh Hashanah Shel, the seventh year. If you wrote it during the eighth year, at least Erev Rosh Hashanah of the eighth year, so the Puzbul is still good. Second of all, we say that according to the Rosh, the Isur Lo Yigos is only during the seventh year. But after the seventh year, there is no Isur Lo Yigos. And therefore, we also can understand what does it help to write a Puzbul at the last day. Because if it was supposed to save us now from the Lo Yigos, so we said we don't understand it. The loan itself already had Lo Yigos, so what are you writing a Puzbul now? But if we say that the whole Isur Lo Yigos is only during the seventh year, and at the end of the seventh year, all that matters to us is if the loan was annulled or not, so therefore, as long as we say according to the Rosh that there is no Lo Yigos in Shana Shminis, therefore a Puzbul could help us even if it was written at the end of the seventh year. And the third Chiddush we say according to the Rosh is that the Puzbul could help us only at the end of the seventh year, that the loan itself shouldn't be annulled. But if you want to use the Puzbul that should help you, you should be able to demand the Chov and Beis Din, you will be able to notice the Chov and Beis Din, that Puzbul doesn't help us. The Puzbul helps us only about the Shemitah Sofim at the end of the eighth, of the seventh year. Can I continue? Time? How long? How much? Doesn't matter? Okay. What we do have to understand is, according to these Rishonim, the other Rishonim, that say that the Lo Yigos starts only at the end of the seventh year. What do we need this Isur for Lo Yigos? Just like we said in Shitas HaRosh, we could better say in Shitas Shara Rishonim, if the Chov wasn't annulled, okay, so come and collect. If the hov was annulled, so I don't owe you anything. So your stomach got it in gazlan. So what do you want from me? What are you coming to collect money from me? There's no reason you should collect from me. So why do we need this extra iser of lo yigos? Your stomach gazlan. In the Gemara of Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, they bring a Mishnah from Shviz. Hamachzer chov lechavero b'shviz, tzorich loy maloy meshamet ani. When someone comes to pay back a loan at the end of the seventh year, really mean the eighth year, we shouldn't discuss exactly what does it mean b'shviz. So shloy maloy meshamet ani. Like we said beforehand, he who gave the loan is supposed to say meshamet ani. You should know there was shmita. You don't owe me money anymore. Meshamet ani. I'm not allowed to collect it from you. But if he says, I still want to pay you back, he should accept it from him. That's what's written in the Pasuk. So Rashi explains that Vezed Varashmite is talking about the beginning of the Mishnah. That's the way the Ran explains the Rashi too. That means that without the Pasuk, I would understand the Malva isn't allowed to come and collect the loan. But if the labor comes from himself and he comes and he wants to pay up the loan, so I can take it from him, and there's no problem. But since there's a pasuk that says v'zed varashmite, in this pasuk itself, it's written that you cannot take the chov, and if you're giving back the loan, you're supposed to say meshamet ani. That's according to Rashi. The Tosfos Rosh says, first of all, it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like it's talking about the end. It says from other mishnayos and shviz. It sounds like it's talking about that you couldn't accept it, the chov. That he wasn't allowed to accept the chov anyways. He wasn't allowed to accept the chov because. He's not allowed to collect the chov, but we think that even after he'd say meshamet ani, he wouldn't be able to accept the chov. So he said meshamet ani. So what? If he still wants to pay him back, he's supposed to say no. I'm sorry, I'm not allowed to accept. He wouldn't be allowed to accept it. That's the chiddush that's written in the posuk. Vezed varashmite, that once he said meshamet ani, he is allowed to accept it. That means according to Rashi, the pshat is that for sure he would be able to allow to accept it. He's only not allowed to demand it. And the postal came and said, no, you're not allowed to accept it unless you say Meshamet Ani. According to the Rishonim, even after you say Meshamet Ani, you still wouldn't be able to accept it. And if you accept it, you have to continue refusing. Comes the postal, Zet Vashmita, and says, it's enough you say Meshamet Ani. Once you say Meshamet Ani, you could come and you could get the chof if he wants to come and pay it from himself. In the continuation, the Gemara says, Omar Rabbe, Betol Yadomach, Isabe Rabbi Kshu, Noisenloi, and when he gives it to him, he shouldn't say, I'm giving it to pay back my loan. That's not what I'm doing. I'm giving it to you as a present. So, how? But if we understand you're giving it as a present, so what is the problem? If that's the deen, that when the loiva comes back to pay back the loan, he has to say, I'm giving it to you as a present, so why do we need the malva to say meshamet ani? You could accept presents whenever you want to. Why is it written that if the malva does not say meshamet ani, I'm not allowed to pay him back? I'm giving him a present. I'm giving him. What's the problem to give him a present? And according to the other Rishonim too, what did they say? That once I said meshamet ani, it's a chiddush. The pasuk said it's a chiddush. The answer was I could accept it. Otherwise, I wouldn't be allowed to accept it. Why can't I accept it? I could take any present from anybody. He wants to give me a present. What does that have to do with anything? What's the problem? Second of all, we see Rashi explains the Talilei Adomar Hachi. After he said Meshamet Ani, if he wants to, if he's strong, Imho Yoroit Zelachzo Boy, now he doesn't want to pay back. After he told him Meshamet Ani, so he decided, the Levit decided he's going to leave, he's not going to pay him back. So he says, Imho Yoroit Zelachzo Boy, Yitleno Al Eitz In Govo Yodoy, Adomar Loi Afopichen. If he sees he's running away, he can come take him if he's stronger than he is. And he'll come out to hang him up on a tree. So he says, yeah, I'm going to pay you back. What does that mean? How could he do such a thing? He's a gazlan. What does that mean that you're making someone pay you back? And what are we going to say? If we say that the idea is he has to give it to him as a present. So what are we going to say? He's forcing him to give it to him as a present. If we make someone give someone a present, that's not a present. So what could we say? We'll say, maybe here it's a little different. Since he gave him money, he owes him money. So therefore, if he's going to make him pay him back and give him a present, not pay him back, if he's going to make him give him back present, so here, even though he doesn't want to give it to him, he understands that he's willing to give it to him. Okay, so therefore we'll say the Take, the Loiva is willing to give it back to the Malve as a present. But still, how does he do such a thing? What about Loi Sachmoid? Why is he allowed to do such a thing? Ach, to once again, other people discuss it. What happened to Loi Sachmoid? Why are you allowed to do such a thing? I don't know if we should get into the whole idea, but it's like this. In the Gemara B'Shabbos it says, we talk about Halvois Yom Tov Nitna Litova Lo Nitna Litova. That means, explains Rashi, the question is if someone lent money to someone else on Yom Tov, if after Yom Tov if he is allowed to come and collect the loan that he gave him in Beis Din Yisrael for loan. The idea is that we have different chashushes. He's going to write it down. We're going to have takolas that happen on Yom Tov since he's able to come and collect it in Beis Din. If he's not allowed to collect it in Beis Din, so we don't have takolas like that. If he is allowed to collect it in Beis Din, if he's not going to be able to collect in Beis Din, we won't have takolas. So the Gemara tries to bring a raya from the Mishnah we discussed beforehand. Hashoich et ha-sapor v'chil ke b'rosh Hashana, im ha-yachodish me'u bo meshamet, im la'vein ha-meshamet. That what? Someone divided up the cow and the person should have for Simchas Yom Tov. So if Rosh Hashanah was pushed up to the next day, so it's Meshamet what he owes him money. And if not, then Meshamet. The Gemara asked, Vilon itno litova, my Meshamet. That's Gisus Rashi. Rashi says, he would read Rashi himself. Hachi galsinen. Vim lo nitna li tova mai meshamet ho ilven bezin nizkokim nekufoi shmuto hivoi medes. In Gisa Sashi we see the questions like this. What does it add on that we also have a din of shmita? If we hold that halvois Yom Tov is lo nitna li tova, if we hold that something that was lent on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to come and collect it in the bezin, so what happens? What does it mean it's nishma? That the death itself was annulled. What does that do to us? Anyways, he couldn't come and collect it in Beis Din. He wasn't allowed to collect his chov in Beis Din anyways. So what does it add on, what the Mishnah says? What does it matter to us if it happened in the 7th year and the 8th year? If it was Yom Tov, anyways, you're not allowed to come and collect it in Beis Din. The Balchos Gemara says that going into the Chol Havi. But what I want to take out of the Gemara is one point. It's not like it's a shiny, but I don't think it's worth going into it right now. But what comes out from Rashi is that the same matzah that we have, and a loan that was given during Yom Tov, that's lo nitna li tova, that's the same matzah that we are in a chov that was at the end of the 7th year and was annulled. That means Rashi says that the chov that was given in Yom Tov is not that the chov disappears. The chov is still in the world. It didn't annul all the way together. But what? You can't come and collect it in Beis Din. Beinu levin atzmoi, you can come and tell him, pay me up. Some of the Yishonim say even it's mutter to make tfise. He's allowed to come and collect it himself. And if the guy takes it back from him, he's still allowed to take it back from him again. That means the person does owe him the money. He just cannot demand it in the Beis Din. So according to Rashi, we see that he understood that it's on the same level. It means just like the loans of Yom Tov, the Mandoba Lonitna Li Tova, that's the same massive that the loans are at the end of the 7th year when they are annulled. That means the chol doesn't disappear altogether. It's still here. That means the maskana comes out that the balde cannot come and collect it in Beis Din, and the loyve does not have to come and pay him back. But there is such a matzav of mamoni gaboch. That means there is some kind of money that this person has by him. He doesn't have to pay him back, and he can't collect it, but it's there. And it could even come out. Minchas Chinuch says poshut that you cannot do tfise. The balde cannot come and collect the money that he owes him for the loan that he gave him. But I saw Binyan Shloimeh by himself. It should be Binyan Shloimeh. He takes out from this Rashi that Bichor maybe can tfisa, can help. That means it could be that according to Rashi, it's not Muskam and all the Rishonim. They have a different gears here. I don't think it's worth going into it right now. But according to the other Rishonim, according to the Rashi, it comes out that it could be even tfisa would be allowed to be done. That means a chov that was passed Shana Shmini, the beginning of Shana Shmini, even though it was Shmitas Tzofim, Shmitas Tzofim doesn't mean that the chov disappeared. The person could still come and toys the city, could still come and collect it. That's a chidush, it's pashas nadradine. But it comes out that according to this Rashi, it comes out that we don't say that the loan disappeared. There is some kind of money that the malva has by the loyve. And therefore we could understand, first of all, what Rashi has said, that he could hang him up on the tree till he gets back his money. He's not a gazlin, he's not loyve lo sachmoy, he has some kind of money there. He's not asking for something else. He's asking for his money. And if he's collecting his own money, even though he's not allowed to collect it in Beis Din, and he's saying, look, I'm not making you pay me up the loan that I'm not allowed to do, but there is some kind of money by me. I saw one of the Achronim, he says, that even if we hold Soyna Matonis Yichyeh, that it's better not to take presents from someone, and those who don't take presents will have chayim arukin, he still says that to take back this kind of money, if the Malzah says, the Loiber says, afal pichen, he wants to pay you back, it's not b'chlal sinim ato nesichya. There's a background why he's giving me this money. I mean, it's not, he's such a close friend, he decided to pay me, he owes me something. But according to Din Torah, I can't collect it, and he can't pay me up. But there is some kind of money that he owes me. So according to that, we're supposed to say, when he says, he's just trying to say, I'm not paying you back a loan that I have to pay you back. The reason I'm giving it to you is because of the loan. That's one way to say it. I'm giving it back to you because there was a loan. That's the way he feels in his heart. But the way he's saying it, look, I'm giving it back to you not because I owe you. It's not a pirhoin choiv. I'm not giving it back. I'm not paying back the loan that was given to me. But it's not a real matana. He's giving him back money that he deserves. Or we could say it differently. In every choiv, in the malvik, he doesn't need a special kinyan to come and zoicha back with his money. Here, you need that the loiva should give it to him. Otherwise, he can't. It doesn't yotze from the shemar. A loiva believe that he makes a special aknoyim. That's the idea of matone. The truth is that the background to this idea you could see in the Yireim. There's a shita say Yireim that if a person doesn't say meshametani, that the chov isn't annulled unless he says meshametani. And what the loiva is supposed to do, he's supposed to take the malva to Beisin, and they're going to make him say meshametani, and then the loan is annulled. Then he has a deal if the person still has to pay him up, even after he said Meshametani. If there's still some kind of chok to pay him up, and if he doesn't pay back, he's a loy v'rosh or a loy yishalim, or he's not supposed to pay him back. And at the end he decides he doesn't have to pay him back. But we still see the idea that shmita does not mean that the chok itself, that the loan disappeared. It means there's still something here. There's still some kind of moment that the malve has by the loyve. And therefore, that's how we could explain also that as long as he doesn't say Meshametani, he's still holding in the Iser Shvi. Since there is such a thing to pay back the loan, there is something here that still is in the world he could pay back the loan. So he has to say Meshametani. I'm not taking it as a back payment. I'm taking it as a present. But the reason he's giving it to him is as a chov. And that's the explanation in the Rashi and the Rishonim. And if you see in Rashi and in Shabbos, also you can see those things like that in his Rishonis. First of all, he says, I don't want that the chov should be annulled. That's what he's saying. And how do you learn it from the posuk? Dvar ha-shmite, says Rashi, afilu mekabel chovoy, yazkir lo shmita b'diburoy. That means, the way Rashi learned that, bring the posuk, zeh dvar ha-shmite, that means, even if you accept the chov, you should still say, meshametani, you should still say words of shmite. I mean, first of all, it could be, you know, there's a Mishnah in the end of Shemitz, it says, Amach Lechoy Lechavero, Ruach HaChomin Noicho Emeno. How does the Chazal know Ruach HaChomin Noicho Emeno? The Torah wanted the loan to be annulled. So what are we saying that it's good if he pays back? The Torah said not to pay back. How do they know to say such a thing? But it could be that it comes from this Zed Varashmit. That means, if the guy, the Torah already said, if he wants to pay back, so say Zed Varashmit, say Meshametani. That means the Torah itself already said that there's going to be such a matzah that the Levi is going to want to pay back. And from there, Chazal understood that if the Torah is talking about such a matzah, that even after the end of the seventh year, someone wants to pay back, and the Torah says, then you should say Meshametani, that means that's the right thing to do. The right thing is, even after Shemitah, if the Chorv was annulled, you're still supposed to, it's a good thing to pay back, and that's what means Guachachom Nechaymenah. So that's what Rashi is saying here. Even though there is some kind of chov to pay back, he can't demand it from you, and you don't have to pay him up. And you're giving it to him b'etzem as a present, but there's a background for the reason that you're giving it back to him. And therefore, that's the way we could explain the Rishonim that say, why do we have another Iser of Lo'igos? If there was nothing here anymore, if the whole thing was annulled and it all disappeared, so look, if you're coming to take money from him, you're a ganav and a gazlan. But if we say that b'etzem is a din of shmita on the money, that means he can't collect it and you don't have to pay him up. But there is some kind of money that he has by him. There is some kind of money that the malve has mamoni gaboch by the loive. Therefore, the Torah said, you should know if you come and collect that money, you're over b'yisr loigoyz. And therefore, according to the Rishonim, only at the end of the eighth year, and the seventh year, at the beginning of the eighth year, when the chov is annulled, that's when the yisr loigoyz starts if you come and you collect that money.